Thank you, Priscilla.
Can you hear me?
Right up.
Okay. Hang on, I'll move the stand forward then. I can't do the look and talk thing. Well, just imagine it's a few days into the school holidays, maybe next week or the next school holidays. The days are ahead of you are free of the usual commitments, running around to all the things the kids do. The kids have spent a few hours, perhaps days, lying on the lounge. They've watched the box, played with all the electronic devices in the house. The batteries are flat in a lot of them. And they've uttered the B word, bored. Or perhaps it's raining, endless rain. Oh, these things happen to us all. I have three kids, so I know this scenario very well. My three kids are a bit older than they were a few years ago when I spoke, so perhaps I've changed my talk a bit. I've added a bit more what the older kids enjoy doing as well as when they were much younger. Now, one in four children are overweight, and one in five do not get the physical activity they need. It's not that hard. We just need to get them outdoors away from the gadgets. So the outdoors isn't far away, it's just outside the front door. I'm trying to move the slide now. Oh, there. Let's head outdoors. Is that a bit too much? Straight into the bush? Well, let's start with the backyard then. Might be a bit easier for you all. Okay. So the backyard, it's not just a place for the Hills Hoist. It's a place where there's lots of adventures waiting to happen, things to explore and discover. And the best thing, it's just outside your door. You don't have to pack to go anywhere. You just need to be a little bit innovative and think outside the box a bit. I think backyards are completely underrated. It doesn't matter if you have a big backyard or a small backyard, if it's a courtyard perhaps, or even if it's a balcony of an apartment. There's potential there to do something. Use your imagination and let your kids use theirs. So some starters for you. It's my nephew. He just loved to play in the leaves. Maybe make a sandpit. You don't have to have a big formal one. Just get a large clamshell or a big box, or just make a pile of sand in the corner. My kids enjoy drawing on the paving or the concrete path with chalk. Very quick and easy one. And they can use their imagination. They've drawn gardens. They've drawn rivers and creeks with crocodiles, all sorts of different things. Just need a bucket of chalk. Ever popular bubble blowing. You can use all sorts of things to blow bubbles. It doesn't have to be the standard small container you get from Kmart. Use your imagination there. Make bubble blowers out of wire coat hangers and have big dishes of bubble mixture. And make your own bubble mixture. It's a lot cheaper. Just need glycerin and dishwashing detergent and water. You'll find a recipe online. Oh, glycerin. Woolworths. In the health aisle where all the lotions and potions are. And I always have to ask someone to help me find glycerin, and then we usually stand there together and scratch our heads and get splinters, and suddenly we see it, usually down low. So glycerin just makes the bubbles better. Raid the recycling bin. I've had a few great afternoons with a friend where we've collected up recycling and then spent time with the kids taping it all together to make dinosaurs, boats, animals of all shapes and sizes. And then we've been really daring and we've got out the paint. And we painted it all, so it's kept the kids busy an entire day with a break for lunch. And my picnic table outside still bears a bit of pink paint to remind us of that day. I think it's good to if you get a delivery, a new fridge or a washing machine, or the neighbour does, ask for the box. Makes a great cubby house and you can paint it and spend lots of time playing in it. So there's some really great simple activities for the younger kids. So as the weather gets warmer, probably not good for this week, but water play is a great thing as well. My kids are there, when they're much younger, making waterfalls. So you can do it down the stairs or down from a table to a bench, down to the ground. Use buckets, jugs, containers, watering cans. And they set it up so the water flows from one to the next and keeps them busy on a hot day for hours and hours. Another good thing is to play in a shallow tray of water. Now, we were really lucky. We, for a Christmas present, got a water play set. But even a big long tray, a clean cat litter tray would do, large saucer from a flower pot. And you can play in that with boats and frogs and all sorts of things in there. Another great thing is to paint pictures on the fence or the paving with big paint brushes and jugs of water. just paint and it all dries up very quickly. No harm done. And my favourite one is to sit, well, I don't, the kids sit in a tub of water on a hot day, a big trug tub, fill it up with water and they can sit out there and play because we don't have a pool. None of our friends have pools. So we have to improvise. So a tub of water, play in that for the day. And if you're really clever and do it later in the day, you can segue that into bath time. So it's all done and dusted for the day. I think at some point you need to add dirt, leaves, sticks and branches. These are two specimens I found just the other day in my backyard from my nine-year-old. So she's not too old to still go outside and use her imagination. She's a dreamer. So this is just a pattern, and there's a few other examples of that. And the other thing is a little fairy garden she's made in the rockery where I was weeding. So I don't know when I'm allowed to plant there now. There's a little fairy house there. You've all read Wombat Stew, probably, or your kids have. Get outside and give them an old saucepan or a bucket or an ice cream container and make a wombat stew. And just tell them if there's a prize plant, they shouldn't be picking the leaves or flowers off. But otherwise, let them go, and it's amazing what you'll find in that pot later on. And give them a little bit of water so it's a proper stew. Another backyard favourite is using imagination. Now, is that a laundry basket? Or maybe it's a canoe. That just happened spontaneously. We'd been cleaning, it was summer, we'd been cleaning the eaves of the house. That's why all the brooms and things are outside. And suddenly my three children together were playing canoes. There's 5 years between them. And that's just unbelievable. It's one of those little moments I had to capture because they're actually all cooperating and having fun. Another one is to let them build a cubby house. These are my two girls with their friend Emma. They've graduated from the little pop-up tent that you get from IKEA or somewhere. And now I let them go out and I give them the equipment. So they get a tarpaulin and find some sticks, some posts somewhere, a few tent pegs and a bit of rope, and I leave them to it. And when they've tied themselves in knots or about to kill each other, I go out and help them. So I've let them try to build the shelter first. Usually they get something reasonable put up in the backyard or wherever we are. Another favourite is to peg large sheets, or I have some banners. We're being thrown out at work, so they're big long fabric banners, and they peg them on the clothesline and make like a big cubby house in there. You just got to time that with your washing in case you want to use it yourself. Now, as the kids get older, the boys particularly, my boys and his friend, they're exploring and wanting to push the boundaries completely and totally infatuated with fire. So they asked me if they could go and with this magnifying glass outside and see if they could set something alight with it. And I said, all right, let's make this safe. So what are we going to put it in? Okay, we get out the old baking dish. Where are you going to do it? Oh, up on the top step where there's no grass. They can set on fire immediately around it. We checked it was clear. And the hose is actually just down behind one of them, ready to put out any fire they made. Well, they did singe the paper before they gave up. So they were there for quite a while. Unfortunately, it was late in the day, I think, so the sun wasn't as strong. But I set some boundaries so they could actually explore how you do set something alight, and they knew how to keep it safe. It would have been amazing if that actually made it light, but leave that for another day. They're a bit older now. They probably could. But fire is a good one to explore. A lot of people still have barbecues in their backyard that are old remnants that you can light up with wood, or perhaps you have a brazier or something like that, a pizza oven. So have a campfire in your backyard. Cook potatoes in ashes or marshmallows on sticks, or you can wrap up a wrap with something melty inside like a pizza and cook that on the fire as well. The kids will really enjoy that, especially if they've made their own lunch or dinner outside. If you have access to someone else's bigger backyard where you can make a proper campfire, that's even more fun. You have to remember a few things with lighting fires. You have to check what the RFS has to say about it for the day. So check if it's a total fire ban. But as long as you've cleared 2 metres around and have a supply of water, you're usually okay. But also just check your council area, because sometimes they might have different opinions on what constitutes a properly constructed fireplace. We have access to my parents' farm, so we can often make a good fire with the kids. And they delight in setting it up ready, make a pyramid or a different shaped fire and see how it burns. Another great thing to do in the garden, and this is the time of year to be getting ready for this, is gardening. hand over a little piece of the garden or a pot to the kids. That lovely flower pot down the bottom is one of my two favourite pots. I used to have something growing in, but it died because I'm not a gardener. That's Jordan's lavender, which he's grown from seed. It's taken forever. It was for a guide badge. We had to like hurry it along a bit, but she grew lavender, and it's still only about this tall, and it's about 18 months on. Excuse me. But that's her pot. Got some other pictures of the kids doing gardening at various ages. Nathan, the very proud owner of a sunflower, which I think was courtesy of school originally, but somehow he managed to keep it alive. So give them their own plot and let them get involved in a lot of the gardening that goes on and the cutting and the pruning. Boys love to prune, and don't we like some bushes to have a boy prune from time to time? So let them out to prune things that need pruning. That's my kids at Mum and Dad's big backyard, the farm, using a big old saw to saw a log up that needed chopping up. Kept them busy for hours. I don't think we're still quite through yet. So another trip up there and I'll finish the job. But let them have a go. That was perfectly safe for them to do that. They weren't going to hurt anything. They weren't going to get through it that quickly. And that's the same saw I used to hang off with my brother and sisters, my brothers and sister, rather, and cutting firewood for Dad. Another thing in your backyard, just keep your eyes open for wildlife. We're really lucky we live so close to bushland, a lot of us around Pennant Hills and Cherrybrook and Thornley. So much wildlife there in our backyards. Sometimes it takes you by surprise and you do a double take to check it's not a snake. But blue tongues hanging around and skinks and a range of birds. So you can actually start your own little bird list for your garden, or a list of what wildlife, perhaps some of the smaller stuff, spiders and praying mantis and cicada shells. All those are from my backyard, bar the cicada shells, they're from Grandma's. So keep an eye out for those as well. Collect them, have a look, and let them go before the kids kill them. Now, if your kids are really into it, you can take advantage of the Birds in Backyard program that runs each year, where they collect data on what's in your backyard. So you can become a participant in that program. Just look up Birds in Backyards. Or the Frog and Tadpole Study Group. If you happen to have frogs near you, they're running a photographic competition at the moment where you can submit photos or other artworks of frogs, and there's some great prizes to win. So extend that a little bit beyond the backyard and take part in those programs. So that's got the backyard covered. There's plenty to do there for a few days if you use your imagination, but I think it's time to get out. So let's head out to the park. Now, just starting with the parks close by, there's so much there to explore and search and discover. Some of the things I've done when my kids were a bit younger and more compliant with doing what I thought was a good idea, we go to a park with some friends and take a few things with us. Favourite things would be our magnifying glasses and things like that. Sometimes they took a pen and paper. We have bush right outside our door, literally. So we've often gone for short walks there. So when we go to the park, we try and take a family or two that we're compatible with. So that means that there's enough children in the other families gathered that everyone has a friend. Otherwise, there's always someone not happy. Take a picnic, and I set you a challenge. See if you can actually take your picnic and everything and not put your hand in your pocket the whole day you're out, and try and stay out all day. So you don't need to go to the park that has the coffee shop. You can pack a thermos and pack lots of snacks for the kids, healthy stuff. They'll eat anything once they've been outdoors for a few hours and they're hungry. Another thing is to don't rush the park and grab the first table you see. Leave the stuff in the car and go exploring, especially the bigger parks. Have a good look around with them before you bag's your spot. Because once you've put your stuff down, you're tied to it because you're worried someone's going to run off with your handbag and your thermos. So leave that setting up your picnic spot till you've had a good look around and explore. Go for a ride or a walk with the kids first. So obviously you can use the playground equipment that's there at the park, but there's also some other things you can do as well. So maybe try a scavenger hunt. You can have a list of things the kids can find, or do a rainbow search where the kids have to find something the colour of every colour of the rainbow. One of our favourites is a science box that we've made up with the kids. It's got a few things that help them to just go off and randomly explore. This is our little box here. It's a cheap little toolbox from Bunnings. That just makes it cool for the younger kids. And inside I've got lots of useful things like spoons, or a tiny magnifying glass. Well, one of them got given this one year, so that's gone in there. And in the bottom, we've got lots of containers. So the girls got given these pretty bug containers. They're great. Nathan got given this one with a magnifying glass on, and then we needed some more in a hurry, so we went to the cheap kitchen shop and bought a, shaker. It's got great air holes and it's got a handle. And a mirror is another good thing because you can look under leaves with mirrors without sticking your head under there and getting a spider in your eye. And a couple of other neat little things in the top here. You're going to laugh at one of these. You can often find little magnifying glasses. They come with your knit treatment when your kids get knits. I've got two in there. We've had two lots of knits. So perhaps take some binoculars with you as well. Maybe if you're really adventurous, take some paper, glue and scissors and string, just a few supplies, because it's amazing what the kids will pick up and then sit down at the picnic rug or the table and make something. Some of the parks you might visit offer downloadable activity sheets, or you can be prepared and find some beforehand. I found a couple on a website I've got on a piece of paper to give you. They had these little, they're from Parks Victoria, but they'll do. They've got little junior ranger sheets you can pick up and do with your kids when you visit a park, just simple ideas that would transfer to everywhere around here. Same wildlife, really, just the general stuff. So find a little challenge sheet and do that with the kids. Another great activity I've done a few times with the kids, and I do it with the guides regularly when we have canoe days now, is we go and float boats. So you can either make these at home, make a little model boat out of the recycling bin, or take all the gear to the park and make them, and then go down to the water and float them and see how long they last. Another one is perhaps to fly kites. Make and fly them yourself. Keep them really simple and let the kids go. I recommend avoiding buying those commercial stunt kites from experience. We have a few and they're not really that successful. The kids don't know what they're doing and it usually ends in tears. So just buy, if you're buying a kite, just buy a really simple one. And when it breaks, the hobby shop up at Hornsby near Forbes Footwear are really good at just giving you one stick to fix and not selling you a whole new kite, which from experience is good. And we've made kites and taken them to fly, as well as taking the commercial flights and kites. And our favourite spot has to be out at Fagan Park near the Eco Garden. There's a good spot there with a bit of open space. Talked all day yesterday and had no trouble. I must have worn my voice out. Another favourite thing to do is to go pond dipping. Plenty of creeks around here and you don't need much. I just found this white tray at one of the $2 shops and all you need is a strainer, a bit of tape to tape it to a stick, a broom handle or a gum branch. And you can go down to any of our creeks or ponds where there's still water. And if you scoop there, particularly in spring and summer, you won't find much now, spring and summer there'll be lots of water bugs and they are basically our insects in their first stage of development. If you want to get technical and know what you're looking at, you can download little sheets that tell you what the water bugs are, or you can just randomly guess if you just want to keep it really simple. So a few different sheets that can tell the kids what's there. You'll find mosquito larvae, of course. You might find tadpoles if you're lucky. Might find little beetles called water boatmen, all sorts of great things like that, or perhaps water striders, or dragonfly or damselfly nymph, which are really interesting to find. So that's a little kit you can make up. We've taken the younger guides ponding a few times. They delight in what they find. And that's just in the bush, just between here and Cherrybrook, just down there where there's a waterfall, just at the still pond there. So it's quite polluted, but they're still finding quite a bit of wildlife. Water snails, that's another thing they always find. Another thing to think about is to use old and new technology. So if you're going to the park, perhaps take a compass, and the kids might like, older kids particularly, might like to set each other up a trail, and they can all set their own up. You can use GPS to find a go geocaching, or you can just do a simple compass trail around the park and follow the directions. Both of those are lots of fun. It's good, I think, to mix the technologies. Now I've got a couple of odd places They aren't really parks that I found around here. There's this sanctuary in Cheltenham. It's called, I can't pronounce it, Heminsa. It's a property that a lady used to live at, and it's now a nature reserve. She was a lawyer, a solicitor, and you know, valued this area. She was also Buddhist, but the land has been set aside as a sanctuary, and it is run by the National Trust. So that's on my to-do list for next week. I want to go and suss it out and see what's there. But it's basically at the back of Pennant Hills Park, but you go in from Cheltenham side. Another idea is to visit old cemeteries. You might want to do that with slightly older children. But there's some beautiful historic cemeteries around, and we shouldn't be afraid about talking about cemeteries. They're part of our life. There's one at Brooklyn that I had a picnic in with my mother and family once. It was quite a nice spot, good views. There's also one at Wiseman's Ferry. If you have a boat, there's a great cemetery on Bar Island on the Hawkesbury. There's also a cemetery near Fred Catterson Oval, which I drive past often when my kids were playing soccer. And there's actually one in the grounds of the Uniting Church at Cherrybrook. I don't know if that's open as such to the public, but they're around, you can look over the fence. So just as you're out for a walk somewhere, or that's just a different place to visit. I thought, well, they're there. Part of my work is with heritage things, so it's interesting to look at them. Maybe don't take the smaller ones. You'll get some crazy questions too early. All right, so we've dealt with the parks. It's time to go bush. Start with something like a short nature trail. Cumberland Forest is a lovely sensory trail. This trail here, Jordan in the green dress is on, is just across the road from where I live, just behind Boundary Road. There's a park, and I can never remember the street names. It's kind of behind Hull Road. And there's a pond there where the ducks are often found, particularly in spring, lots of ducklings. And Jordan drags me down there. She thinks she's going to make me fit if I walk from home there a few times with her. Good on her. And we count the ducks and the ducklings, and it's a little bit, she's noticed that every time we go there's a few less ducklings because they get lost, foxes and dogs and just life. But it's an interesting spot to visit, and we watch the remaining ducklings grow up. There's also a bush trail over near the entrance to Pennant Hills Park, another little trail there that is meant to be pram accessible. And I mentioned Cumberland State Forest, and there's a couple as well down at Croslands Reserve, a couple of nature trails there that are quite short, and a couple down at Brooklyn as well. So Brooklyn's not that far either to visit for the day. Once you've done the short nature trail and you've all survived that and the kids are ready for a bit more, so a bit older, the legs go a bit further, try a short bushwalk. Now there's a zillion short bushwalks just outside us here as we all face into the bushland. There's plenty you can access from the end of Bellamy Street, off Boundary Road, a number of from around in West Lee. Lots of good bushwalks that way, and plenty up behind Pennant Hills Park as well. Lots of trails there. And you can find all those via the council website or another website I'll show you shortly here. Wild Walks is a great website I've used. You can look up, you can use it for anywhere in New South Wales or beyond. And you can look up your walk, and someone's gone to the trouble of giving you instructions and pictures so you know where you are. So that's a great one. And another one I've started using for work when I've been mapping walks I've been taking groups on is Map My Walk. And you can actually put in your starting point and plot the route you want to take, and it tells you how far it is, which is great when you've got a time limit or want to keep the kids, or make the walk the right length for the kids. So Map My Walks is another good one. Now, don't worry about jotting all these down because I have them on a bit of paper for you at the end. I can see you all writing. That's all right. Just listen to me ramble. I'll give you a bit of paper at the end. So another thing I suggest is... I've missed a slide. How do I go back? Oh, okay. The other thing I was going to say was... Once you've done a short bushwalk, plan a longer bushwalk with your kids. And that's something to do when they're a bit older like mine are now. That one there. Now, I have three kids. Two would leap at walking, and one is really reluctant, the middle one. She's like me. But I've worked out she'll go on a bushwalk if there's a bag of jelly snakes, and we pull them out every time she's walked up a steep hill. So just know what their currency is, what gets them going. So lots of bushwalks you can do around here, and then extend beyond here and look at some of the other walks around Sydney as well. All right, plan an excursion of your own and leave the car at home. That's the real challenge because we're all a bit reliant on our cars. We love them. let's catch the train. So I've had a couple of fantastic days out to Brooklyn with friends, two different friends, with their compatible children to mine. We've caught the train from Pennant Hills. We've gone to change trains at Hornsby, so that's fun. You try not to lose all the children, especially with one friend because she's got lots. When we get off the train, we get off at Hawkesbury River Station. You have to remember that when you're buying your ticket that it's not called Brooklyn Station. You have to get up the stairs. Now, the first time I went and when this friend went, we had prams, so that was a bit of a task, but we did it. Up the stairs, steep stairs with the prams. And then we went for a walk. We've done a few different walks. And there's quite a few walking guides that you can download for Brooklyn from the Hornsby Council website. So you can be one step ahead of your kids and know what is around. And I even, one of the times I went, made up, because the kids were quite small, made up a little activity challenge for the day, and there was a prize at the end if they found all the different things. So that was just me putting my work hat on. We went, and one of the challenges was they had to work out how much their lunch would cost at the fish and chip shop and how much change they'd have from a $10 note. So we went to the fish and chip shop at the bottom of the station stairs after our little walk, because they're really good there, and bought our fish and chips. And then we went up to the saltwater baths and had our fish and chips and then had a little swim before we all changed and traipsed back home on the train. You could add fishing, but I would rather take Tuck with me to do that so he can deal with the smelly bait. Just can't stand that. And what would I do with the fish once we caught it? So that's a day with the dads. They can handle that. Another day I did was we caught the ferry from Hawkesbury River Station over to Dangar Island and went exploring there and then came back on the ferry. And that was a fantastic day too. We found a park right up the top of the island and some toilets. And we could have walked further if the kids were a bit bigger. And there's a little spot where the locals do swim there. But I haven't actually been to that spot yet. And another thing from Brooklyn you can do is explore the river. And there's a cruise you can do where you go with the postman and deliver the mail up the river. And there's another one where you visit Seven Islands, which I've found recently, a new tour. So that all sounds good, but sometimes we want other people to do the planning for us. We just want to turn up and enjoy the day with the kids. That's all right. That's where my work hat comes in. So let's start with some activities you can do on the water where someone else has got things covered for you. You can do a ferry tour from Bobbin Head or Barrow Waters. As I mentioned, you can deliver the mail up the Hawkesbury River or do a Seven Islands cruise that's only on Sundays. You can take the ferry up or down the Parramatta River or from Brooklyn across to Dangar Island. You could just go down to Barrow Waters and cross the creek on the car ferry there, drive a car on and cross, go across and explore and come back. Or you could hire canoes or rowboats. You can hire them at Lane Cove National Park, Barrow Waters, Bobbin Head and Crosslands Reserve. There's a little sign when you get down there for the youth camp across the other side, and they actually hire them to the public now. So it's a little tiny sign. Take part in a spring or summer sailing camp with the kids. I popped that one in there because, with my guide hat on, Guides New South Wales run summer sailing schools, and you don't actually need to be a member of Guides to participate, and you don't need to be a girl, you can be a boy. So that's a great one, good value. And my daughter Karina and Evelyn's daughter Lily went last spring and had a blast and overcame a lot of their own fears about sailing and being in charge of the boat by themselves and were well supervised for 4 days of sailing. So that's another idea if you want to farm them out to someone else in a constructive way where they learn something they wouldn't normally be able to do. Maybe you want a nature or wildlife activity. Plenty down at my work at Sydney Olympic Park, including the Birdlife Discovery Centre, which is a separate organisation at Sydney Olympic Park. Perhaps you want something closer to home. You can explore Cumberland State Forest. They have a range of programs on offer. Just look for the State Forest website. Centennial Parklands, they've always been my competitor at work, but they do run some great activities if you're willing to drive into the city to Centennial Park, and I have been out there for orienteering. Parramatta Park, again, have programs, and National Parks run their discovery programs as well. And you can visit the Kalkari Visitor Centre in Ku-ring-gai National Park. Mugamara Nature Reserve, that's one to put in your diary if you'd like to visit there, because they're only open for 6 weeks every spring. So this year's dates, I've put them on the sheet I've got for you. So they open in August for 6 weeks, and you need to pre-book on those, because a lot of them are guided walks, or they keep the numbers low to avoid everyone trampling the place. Keringai Wildflower Gardens is another lovely place, and they have lots of programs on offer in the school holidays. I put Koala Park there so it wasn't forgotten. I don't really know that they're offering programs, but they're there with animals. I don't think it's changed a lot in the years. It's a class as a heritage site now, but worth a visit. And Hornsby Council run a number of programs, bushwalks and the like. It's quite surprising because you think they just stick to libraries, but they have programs where they're getting kids outdoors and families outdoors, bushwalking and other nature-based programs. So have a look at their website as well. If your kids are up for a bit of adventure, got some active kids who like their sports, Orienteering New South Wales run kids orienteering. They call it space racing. Lots of fun. And that's across all of Sydney. They do it at Sydney Olympic Park. They have it at Centennial Park. They've had sessions out at Baulkham Hills, so all over the place. And they're not that expensive. Usually they charge you $15 for a family. It says often in their printed materials per kid, but what they do is they give you one of the little... They wear an electronic thing on their finger. When they find a checkpoint, they tap it. So they just give you one per family, and that's how you get a few kids in cheaply. And that's a great activity. They're using maps, and orienteering have volunteer coaches who run around behind your kids to check they don't get lost, and they help them when they need help. So they don't lead them, but they shadow them when the kids are younger and need a bit of help. So all my children have done that, the eldest through to the youngest, and had a great time. Out at Sydney Olympic Park, there's an urban jungle ropes course at the Aquatic Centre, but it's outside. That's a lot of fun. You need to book for that one. And there's also a number of clinics on, all different sports clinics during the holidays as well, run by different groups. Another one that's free, I love the free one, is at Newington Armoury. You can go and play disc golf, which is a game of frisbee, but set up like a golf course. You can take your own disc or frisbee, or you can hire them from the visitor centre. You just leave a deposit and you get it back if you bring your disc back. And that's a game where you basically are seeing how few throws you can throw of the disc to get to the goal or the basket, and quite competitive and a lot of fun. But it's free, so you can just use a frisbee, use a plate if you've got nothing else and the visitor centre's not open. Also, you might want to go a bit rural, go a bit green. Have you tried fruit picking? If you look at the Hawkesbury Harvest website, they tell you all the different farms that are open for fruit picking. Ford's Farm's one that comes to mind, but they've just closed, but they'll be open again for some more mandarin picking. So they open when there's fruit to pick and close again when they're short of fruit. Maybe you'd like to go horse riding. Well, the first horse riding place I thought of was Vision Valley, but they've actually recently closed their horse riding due to some problems. So Glenworth Valley up the freeway has horse riding, or there is a horse riding centre at Arcadia as well. Visit Golden Ridge Animal Farm. You can actually visit that site, or they come out with mobile farms, so that's not the place. And if you'd like to look at an eco garden, there's one at Kimbricky Tip, and there's also one at Fagan Park. Two great eco gardens. You can just wander around those. Kimbricky Tip has lots of display with reused rubbish as part of the garden display, so it's just an interesting visit. It's over the Northern Beaches way. It's on my list again, so you'll be able to find it easily. So that's a bit further than Pennant Hills. Ride a train. Always fun with the small guys. There's plenty of trains around, but I didn't know about them. They've been there for years. Down at West Ride, the top, your right-hand side picture, these little ride-on trains that you straddle. And even my father, who just turned 80 2 days ago, a few years ago, was seen on one of these trains riding with his grandkids. They're open once a month on a Saturday afternoon. Vickery's Winery, which is the one down in the middle, they have little Thomas trains that run around, and it's great for a birthday party. It's a little bit of a ride out to there, but it's a fun day. And, of course, my favourite one is my train at Newington Armoury. Yes, Ludnam. Yeah, Ludnam, yes. Oh, no. I missed that one. That's a shame because it was a good fun. Well, you'll have to come to my train then at Sydney Olympic Park. That one runs every Sunday. No voice coming. Yes, there it is. It runs every Sunday. We have a big long tour for the older people. at 9:30 till 11, and then from 11 o'clock, every half hour, there's half-hour train rides for the kids, and they're only $5. Kids under 3 are free if they sit on your knee. That makes sense? If they sit on your lap. So that's really good. Good day out. So I'll tell you a few more things about my park. You're probably familiar with some of these images of Sydney Olympic Park. If you go to their website, look who's on the website this week. I almost died. The things you get caught. I got into that photo because I went to Rouse on the photographer taking the pictures of these kids because he was in the mangroves, wetlands, where he shouldn't have been walking, not on a path. And then he goes, while you're here, can we have a picture of you talking to the kids? Yeah, I know. I was a bit unimpressed. But anyway, there I am telling everyone. So if you go to our website and there's lots of things you can find there to do. Just look at the What's On events. Look for kids in the park. Look for self-guided activities. Lots of things there we can do. You can download some. They're like a treasure hunt or a scavenger hunt activity off the self-guided page. They're called clue trails, or one you can do with a compass called Crack the Code. And you can run around Newington Armoury or around the town centre of Olympic Park, find out things, visit the heritage garden where the abattoir used to be. Explore that with your kids. Learn about the heritage, but learn about what it is today. And then there's great playgrounds everywhere. A lot of people think just of the new playground behind Silverwater Correctional Centre, Blackson Riverside Park. That's a great playground, but it's very busy. I think most of the local area go there every Sunday. But if you go to Wentworth Common, which is a slightly newer playground, it's almost abandoned some weekends, and it's got some great equipment there as well, and it's a lovely big sandpit and swings, so it's a lovely spot to visit as well. So I've got a sheet for you which has lots of different places you can look for information. A couple I found just over the last week when I was updating my list of things was one I had there was a government one which was called Go Play, and it seems to have vanished, but I found a few other ones. Sydney.com with things to do. They had a section on family activities for free, and they included lots of ideas of exploring Sydney Harbour, particularly by ferry and all the islands there, which is a fantastic day out. I've been to a couple of those islands with the kids for days out. You need to make sure you pack towels and dry feet for the kids or dry clothes because they always get wet when there's water. There's another website called Ella's List. It's a daily activities for Sydney mums, and she has lots of activity ideas there, things to do. Of course, Sydney's Child is still always a good resource. A lot of the programs like I do at work, we all try and get our programs listed in Sydney's Child because people read it, so all the nature-based activities would be there. But the best thing to do is to try and get onto the mailing lists for the organisations you like. So Sydney Olympic Park's pretty keen to post you a brochure or send you an email about what's on, and so are all those other organisations like us out there, so you can stay up to date what's on offer. And that brings me to the end, but I have for you a couple of things you can take. I bought you the latest Kids in the Park brochure because there's still another week to go, so I'll be down there next week running park patrol, looking at mangroves. Oops, and I've made you up a sheet here down the bottom with all, I can't get it out, with all the ideas I had on the presentation. And I have some park maps as well if people want to know where a good playground is or a good place to park when you've gone down there with the kids as well. So I'll pass those around. And thank you for letting me talk to you today.